Evening. Welcome to the Laughing Monkey Music Show. Today we are on a special guest. We have on Jack Grisham. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad to have you on. I've been a fan of you and the band on and off through my whole life. I say off because just between breaks and stuff, it's just too much music, man. I can't listen to you all the time. And I gotta be honest with you, the other version of the band, it's not a dig, just wasn't the same for me. I think I'm more a fan of your vocals with the band than not the other, you know what I'm saying?
But it's interesting because he's actually a much better singer than I am. So it just, he can actually sing. I'm more of a performer than a singer, but
Well,
it's
but
funny.
that's what punk is, and alternative, don't you think? Like in the very beginning, you have a voice that is a technically will never be on a TV show, right? But it's the best freaking voice, and you listen to that tape over and over and over again, right? And you're like, this is
Right.
perfect.
Well,
It's
that
got a
was a cool
personality
thing.
to it, and that's kind of what it is to me. It's your voice.
Yeah, and me too. And that was the cool thing about punk rock. Like, there was no way I was ever getting in a band. Do you know what I'm saying? Not until punk rock came. Then it's like guys like me. It's like, all right, cool. You're in. You're good.
You
I
have a good
remember
voice.
this one time. This friend of mine was pretty funny. He said, he goes, I'm thinking of being a singer. I go, have you ever been in a band before? He goes, no, but I got cool shoes. I go, oh, you got it. You're on, man.
And his name was David Lee Roth. So.
Yeah, I
Well,
like David Lee.
that would be a David Roth comment, but I've got good shoes, man. Let's talk. So you got a lot going on, but before I get way sidetracked, which is I'm really awesome at doing, is let's talk about you guys have a new album out. TSOL has a new album out. A-side Graffiti coming out February 29th, I think, give or take.
Close, close. I don't know. You probably know better than I do, so. Yeah.
I don't even know my kids' names, so
That's nice.
but let's if you just point at them, they'll answer. I think that's what the date is. And let's talk about the album notes. It's kind of fun because it's a lot different than other stuff you guys have done though, I think.
Well, it was never, the funny thing is, it was never meant to be an album. It was never going to be an album. Well, all it was like, so for me, I'm a big believer in you got to experiment. You got to try stuff. You got to let's just see where we are. It's like paint a house. Let's throw some color on the wall. Let's see where we're going. And it doesn't. And so what that record was, we just started doing singles. Like there's a cover of Anne Marie's One Thing on there. I don't think anybody would ever co think of covering, an Anne Marie song. But I was listening to it. And I was listening to the lyrics, and I thought, well, first of all, I dig like soul music and go-go beat stuff, so I dig that. So I was, but then I'm listening to the words, and I'm thinking, oh man, she may be singing to a guy saying, hey, look, you're doing something sketchy. I don't like what you're doing. I'm gonna come get you, But I thought, oh my God, this is like great lyrics from like a community singing towards a government. Hey, I know you're telling us you're cool, but there's one thing you did that's got me tripping. It's like, let's talk about South America. Let's talk about here. Let's talk
A
about
lot to talk
this.
about.
And, right. And then she says, the car keys are in the hand, my boots are coming across the floor. And I just thought, God, what a cool song, man. And at first I thought it would have been cool for like Rage Against the Machine or whatever to cover. And then I just thought, hey, we'll cover it. And I asked my guys, and they just go along with it. They're like, yeah, Jack, whatever. Let's go.
Well, yeah,
And
well, you have some good
it
covers
was
on
real
though.
fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry, you do have other covers on it. It's a good album,
No, and so that's what it, so it was just, so then we tried an original kind of thing, and then we tried this and tried that, and then one of my buddies, called me and said, hey, will you do a version of Wonderful World? And I'm like, yeah, great. We got a couple minutes. We're in the studio screwing around. And we start to do it. And I thought, yeah, these lyrics don't sound right to me. I'm going to rewrite these lyrics. And so we did What a Wonderful World, but I rewrote all the lyrics. It's like, yeah, hang on, is it? This is what's going on. So anyway.
It's a good version though. It's pretty actually. It is really. It's nice
I
how
did it,
it's melodic, but the lyrics have a different version. You know what I'm saying? How it's got like a little, yang to it. Makes it more
Right.
fun.
And here's what was something cool. So the string, the section quartet a couple of guys from the Section Quartet played strings on the record. I was actually at a recording for John Doe of an audiobook, John Doe from X. I was at a recording
Yeah.
of an audiobook of his, and I played a slight version for a couple guys in the room. And one of these guys goes, God, you need real strings on that. I go, yeah, if I could afford real strings, I'd have them. He
Yeah.
goes, I'm a violin player. We'll do it. And it turned out he had this bitch, and they're called the Section Quartet. And these guys came, and they were unbelievably scored the whole thing. It was unbelievable. And then, as a favor back, they asked me if I would get on stage with them and sing it with the quartet. So it was me and just strings, and
Awesome.
that was quite interesting.
That's pretty fun, though. That's actually just as rewarding for you, I would imagine, because you do a lot of creative things. So I'd imagine doing that also, performing with them would be even just as fun.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, my legs were shaking bad. You know, it's one thing, like in punk rock, I always tell people, because I get a little stage frighty or whatever, I say, look at man, when we're playing shows, nobody's really watching me. There's so much shit going on. Kids are running all over the place, people are getting crazy.
Yeah.
No one's paying attention to me, right? So it's easier. But walking on stage with that quartet in a theater, and I'm wearing a suit, and I walk out, and the light comes down on me, and
Yeah.
it's like
A little
my
different.
leg is shaking so hard, man, I almost passed out. It was I'm like Joe Cocker up there, just shake away, man.
Cocker. That's pretty funny. Well, I mean, I think you're downplaying a little bit. When there's a show, you do stand out. You're like, you have a charisma. You're a tall guy. You always you're very good at your own style dressing wise. Like, you have a cool coat on. You have a cool colors. Everything I've seen you in, you have almost like a different look. So you have a charisma. You're very not entertaining in a way. It's your creativity, I think, shows on everything you do almost. Like, you don't ever dial it in. So being on stage, you're not like. You're not one of the of a mass of people. You are you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think that was the point, to
No, yeah.
punk rock. I always, it's like I was telling my daughter, I walk with my daughter every morning, and we were talking about it, and I said, look, I think some of these guys forget what the fight was about in the first place, that
Yeah.
there was an individuality. You could do whatever you wanted. You could look however you wanted. You could sound however you wanted. It's like, there wasn't this rock star attitude, this we are the band, you are the crowd kind of thing. And I've gotten a little, bummed out sometimes because I see a lot of these bands that were supposedly in the trenches with me, and now they have become what we were against. It's actually a little terrifying sometimes.
And you can, yeah, I mean, there's like a uniform you can get at Hot Topic to be that perfect person too at this point in the world.
Well, it's funny.
It's yeah.
What the very first punk shirt was in Hot Topic?
You? Are you guys done?
TSOL.
Really?
TSOL. That was the that, that see, I learned I've been learning some good. The very first punk shirt they sold in Hot Topic was a TSOL shirt, and the first like punk rock horror rap album, not an
Yeah.
EP, not a single album, that came out in the US, punk rock horror album, was TSOL's Dance With Me. So before the Misfits, before 45 Grave, any of that, the Dance With Me LP came out before their LPs.
Oh wow.
Anyway, yeah.
And they were a
Little
new place, so they were when it first came out, it was pretty it was they were their own thing. Now, like everything else, it's become a commodity. You know what I mean? The specialness
Yeah.
of it, because it's gotten to a point where it's literally just, it's more commercial than what it used to be. I've seen it change over the years.
Yeah, and commercial and the attitudes, which is my problem. That's
Yes.
the problem I got with it. I don't give a shit about people making money. That's great. Money's
You should make
wonderful.
money in music. You're in music. You should make lots of money. I hope you're getting paid for
Yeah,
your
you can
shirts.
do
You
great
should make the
stuff.
money.
Yeah, I got no problem with people making money, but some of the other stuff I got a problem with. I got a problem with the
I
fucking
think it. It
socialist, man.
Well, I think because I think that there's two different types of punk. I think, and I think actually the way the album goes, I think you have your legs on the sound of two different things. You're like each side of the fence. Like, old punk to me had like a lot of different sounds in it, and the new punk to me is much more of a poppier punk. and much more of a collective sound where the lyrics are rebellious, but they feel almost kind of safe rebellion. With a little punk, the music and the lyrics, you kind of felt like, I don't know what I'm going to get each time I hear a new song. I literally don't know. I remember going on, hearing, I'd be able to get punk when I was really young, and I'd throw a tape in the college radio station. I'd pick it up, like, I don't know where it was, where I live in New England. And I'd pick it up at night and hear just, I didn't know all the songs were at the point. You know what I mean? I would just record whatever my tape would go 90 minutes of just punk songs because that's the only
Yeah.
way you could get it. And I didn't know what the songs were going to be or who it was or what they're going to talk about. It was bananas, all the topics. Nowadays, you kind of go on, you kind of got three or four things you're going to hear about. You know what I mean? It's changed.
And who knows if it's for the worse or not. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to sound like an old guy crying, I remember in my day, we didn't have this crap. Like,
Get off my
sound like
lawn.
my
That's what I'd
dad.
say. Yeah. No, but it's punk is about being individual. And I think that's the ethos of it and fighting for things. And if you're not doing that, it's kind of not the same thing anymore, though, I guess what I'm saying. So
Yeah,
I hope you don't get too far from the goalpost, the other bands now. Don't forget that's what it's about.
right. Well, and it's I think to me it was always an attitude issue because we would go and see, the craziest combinations of bands playing. You got Wall of Voodoo, you got Fear playing with Oingo Boingo. It's like, it was because it was everything. It
Yeah.
was so wide open, and then it starts getting pigeonholed in this, and we're only going to have these bands on the bill. And I God, I used to bitch about, you go see a show and some wacky band's on the bill, and I used to bitch about it. And now I bitch about the fact that you go and see a show and all six bands sound exactly alike. It's like, God,
Yeah, it's
anyway.
gotten really bad. No, but it's true. I mean, and that's the whole point, I think. And so the album, I want people to keep going back. It is a really good album. It's got lots of covers and some originals, and it's produced really well. Got a great sound. It's very current sounding though too. It's not like it's a dated old style either. That's what I'm saying. And I hear old version of the band mixed in with a new version. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Kind of like a leg on each side of the fence. Like you're not
Yeah.
selling out by trying to be, another band that's out now. I don't want to disparage fans because I like some of the other punk bands, but they're not just not the same. But at the same time, you're still who you guys are, and that's a hard balance. It could have gone really bad. I'll be honest with you. When I got sent to me, didn't know what I was going to get. I'm like, oh, because it's like, you were the band, then you weren't, then they had the other thing going on for a while, and then they tried to make the band go in like metal. Shouldn't have happened. And then the back. So when I got this album, I'm like, all right, where are they going to be? Because your last, I got to look at it right now. I love the Divide We Stand, and Disappear. Like those albums are great. So when I got this and I started hearing it, I was so over the top happy when I heard this album. I was like, all right, I get it. It feels like growth. It feels like you took everything you learned and kind of put it all together. You
Yeah,
didn't
and
try to
I
change.
really appreciate that. Thank you. And working with Paul Rossler, who produced, he did, he was in 45 Grave, he was in the Screamers, he did Nina Hagen.
Oh
Paul
yeah.
and I was the minister at Paul's wedding. So
Oh, really?
like, yeah, so Paul and I get over there and we just sit
Is there
around
anything
and.
you don't do? You do movies, you do things, you're a minister.
Yeah.
You're like, I run a
I
pet store after this. I gotta go. I got a bus
I get
route.
bored, man. I got to be doing something. So, but it's fun. So, I've told Paul a bunch of times I wouldn't still be doing this if it wasn't for him,
Oh, really?
because he's a big part of TSOL. Like going over and sit with him and working with him and doing this, and for me, I have a deep friendship with Paul, and he's really supportive and just cool, and I mean, I don't know what else. Intelligent, we just go over there and we psychoanalyze each other. We're both fucking, it's completely nuts. Why he's mixing? I'm like, well, it's crazy.
But it's a good album. I guess the production I'm really really pleased with because I used to do production for school, I went to school for it. So to me, it's always the first thing I key in on is the production, the songs, and then everything else afterwards. I mean, it doesn't sound good, and it's still good songs. It doesn't matter who's on the album. You know what I mean? You can't polish it. You can't polish it, sure. It's like it's you know, but this right at the gate, it just sounded like everything was just popping, and the songs were just really strong, and even the covers. And I was pleased because I know, being a fan of you and the band, that you've always gone back to the 60s, 50s. You really like soul, earth moving music. So seeing some of the covers you put on, and even doing Sweet Transvestite, didn't surprise me. I'm like, this guy's all about fun. This is not going to surprise me, And actually, I want to talk about that song if you could, please.
Well, and that was pretty fun. I'm not really like a Rocky Horror. I mean,
Oh, but you're a fun
it's
guy.
like, yeah. I mean, it's not like I never went. I think I saw it once. And it was just kind of somebody said that we should do it. They said, "Why don't you cover this?" And it's not really a cover as much as it's a tribute, really, to it. That argument, we're a tribute band. It's like it's kind of. It is a cover, but we're pretty close. And so I gave it to the guy that said, "Hey, why don't you do this?" He said, "Man, this is, I didn't realize you were going to really take it seriously." Like, yeah, man, we're doing this. And I was laughing. I had so Keith Morris, who comes in and plays the part of Brad,
Yes.
he's also in, besides being in the Circle Jerks, he's in Off. And I was in a couple of Off videos. He would call me and say, "Hey, will you come be in the video?" So I was in these Off videos. So I thought, I'm gonna call Keith, man. Keith owes me. And he's got that Brad, we'll just go back to the car. How Keith talked. I thought, oh, what a great Brad, man. And it was funny because Keith snuck over. He wasn't supposed to be over there with us because he was sick. And they were telling him he had to stay in the house. So he said, "All right, don't post that I'm here. Don't answer the phone. Don't tell anybody if they're looking for me." Don't do it. So anyway, so yeah, Keith just did a great, Keith just did a great, what a great job. Wonderful.
When I read the breakdown that came with the album for me, for the people get early, I'm looking at it and I'm reading it, and I actually had to skip ahead because I'm looking here, track three. Actually, that was the first one I went to because I heard, I'm like, you, and Keith, I'm like, I've got to hear this song first. There's just no way I can wait two more songs. It's not fair to the other two songs. I'm not gonna be like listen to them, didn't digest them, So I went back and heard it, got out of my system, had a good laugh. I'm like, that's pretty fun. That's good. You guys did it justice.
And it's not like a joke, like it sounds legit.
It's good.
It's like a legit, it's a legit cover. Like I, because I listened to other people cover it, I thought, oh, we did it better than that. So
Well, it feels
anyway.
live, is what it is. I think the other versions I've heard feel more sterile. I think the production on that really says a lot too, though. It feels like
Well,
it breathes.
and a lot of what we do, like when we go and record with Paul, we play live. That's what we do. So everything's set up, so it's got that feel. We all play at the same time. You may come in later, throw in some overdubs or whatever, but I've got a scratch vocal. It's like I got a mic in my hand. We're all talking to each other. We're all looking at each other. We're in the so the amps are outside of the control room. And so the bass guitar, we're all in the control room looking at the drummer. The keyboards are set up in the control room, everything. So it's really like we're playing live and Paul's just grabbing it.
The energy is part of the trick, I guess, and that's what it is, right? It's feeling it. That's the secret sauce. But like I said, there's 12 songs on it, and like I said, covers and not, and like, can you hear me? Great. It's just like the biggest. Your first single now is Swimming, I believe, is the single right now. It's a good song. I don't know if people have heard that one yet. It is a whole thing. It just really, it's the songs are catchy. It's just upbeat. Even if the lyrics aren't upbeat, you're tricking people
Yeah, well, in
to doing smart lyrics.
the "Can You Hear Me" thing was kind of strange because we had done it just like I really like Bowie, and so for a while when I played with Hunt Sales that played with Bowie in the Tin Machine, so I got a chance to meet Bowie a couple times. It was really fun, and it was kind of like, hey, I've always liked this song. Let's just try it. I don't even know if I can do it. Because it's a whole different kind of singing, you're up in falsetto, you're doing whatever, and I thought, fuck not, let's just go, man.
But it's like a Bowie song that no one ever covers. First off, that already gives you already a leg up for me. I'm like, let's just do something that's not everyone's doing. You know what I mean?
Right. You don't
And
really
I do.
hear.
That's a great time period too. Also, you picked a good time period of the Bowie years, you know.
And I think, and a little bit of it was a nod to, so when he did the Young Americans record, he had just come off like Diamond Dogs and then just lost everything and stripped it and went into
Yeah.
this Young Americans thing. And of course, all his fans hated it. It's like, what the hell are you doing, man? Now you're this now. And I remember
Oh, that
that.
made him awesome. I love that about him. He just trashed everything. Blow it up, start over again.
Well, and that's how I've always looked at music. If you look at these TSOL records, there's big differences. I mean, not as drastic as that, but there are differences in sound.
No,
It's like,
there
all
are.
right, we already did that. Now let's move on and try something else. Now let's try something else. So, I like that in music. These guys that get hooked into this one sound and they just stick with it and do it. It's like, God damn it, what are you doing it for? You can't be doing this for artistic satisfaction. It's got to be
Right,
just for the
yeah.
cash, man.
Or they could like it. They could just be a sound that they like it. But to me, it feels like it's eating the same food all the time. You can like it, and some people like that. That's awesome for them. But for me, I like the idea of having a lot of different meals, and I like a
That's
lot of different
right.
types of music. So
I've
it's
been
just.
married 4 times, man. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I was going to say your record. I was going to say your record
That's
labels.
a
The amount of
bad
record labels
joke,
you've had.
man.
No, it's just. The amount of record labels you've been on too, so
Yeah.
that shows also your love of diversity. People aren't aware. I
Yeah.
think every album you've done has been on a different label, which.
I think well, we did, we actually did, I think both with Faulty Products with Jello's label or well no because that's right because we did our first single with Alternative Tentacles and then the next one for Biafra and those guys was on Faulty Products
Yeah.
and but Nitro I think we did two. Divided We Stand and Disappear both were on Nitro. So I guess they got the record for two.
All
That's
right.
the long two records for them. Everybody else, it's been one.
I was pretty close. I get a point. Give me half a point for that one. I was pretty
Yeah,
close on
no,
that
you were good. You were good.
one.
Yeah.
But the point is, you are a big fan of diversity, though. I mean, everything you do. And let's actually talk about that. So, people, the album's awesome. Get it when it comes out. But while we're talking about, you've done some writing, you some books. You also did a film.
Right.
Let's talk about it. Why don't you
Well, I used to. So a lot of, it's funny. So when I was a kid, I used to, I had a camera. I'd make movies and shoot photos. I'd write stories and I pretended to be in a band. So now I'm an adult. It's like I'm
Same
doing the
thing.
same shit, man. Like nothing, I got sidetracked for a little bit, but, the reason how I got back into fooling around with movies was someone did a movie on me. And I went to a film festival and watched it. It was like a short film. So I'm watching these other films. I thought, God, that's a cool story. That's a great story. But the acting sucks, man. I'm gonna go home and try to make a
Yeah.
film. So the first film I made was a film about survivors of child sexual abuse, and it's called 288. And you can find it for free on Vimeo, 288. And I actually wrote a film Code Blue that Susan Diner directed
Yeah.
and Andy in it. You can find that for free on Vimeo also. So I made this film on survivors of child abuse. And then
That was
after
the
I
first
did,
one you made. That's the first thing you made that heavy of a topic.
And
Yeah, that's hard.
it's a interesting if you ever watch it and want to talk to me about it,
Yeah.
send me a little note because I did something with the actors that has never been done before in any film. So it's kind of a it's I don't want to say it before you've
No,
read
don't.
it,
It's
before
great
you've
because no,
watched
because it's yeah, it makes it more fun for so. All right, now I'm interested. You've got
it. Yeah, I
my
mean it's a
ears.
rough watch. Look at it, it's a rough watch. It's a rough watch, but it's a good film. I mean, I sat in a theater when they played it and watched people crying. So it's real heavy. It's a real heavy film.
And it's
Anyway.
important to do that. It's important to make that kind of stuff too. I'm not taking away from that, but I mean, like, that's just a heavy topic to be dealing with directing and putting together your first film. That's enough to deal with on top of the topic, is my point. That's just a lot.
Right. And it was. And then I thought, well, I'm going to try like a full movie now. I'm going to do the TSOL story. I got that story. I'm going to do it. And and then launched in and crowdfunded a bunch of money and ended up making that film. And now I just wrote the screenplay for another, and I'm trying to direct this film right now. There's a couple meetings going on, trying to get me the cash to make this new film.
Excellent.
So,
So it's definitely something you're getting more and more into now.
well, I think it's just it's another way to tell a story. I like writing too. I write a lot. So, I like telling stories. I've always told stories since I was a kid. And the film meeting, it's just another way to tell that story, to pull out that emotion. And that's another thing. It's always fresh. It's always fresh. You're working with a new band every time you make a film. It's like, I mean,
Yeah.
unless you got the same, I did use the same actor a couple times so far, but anyway.
It's good to have reliable. I mean, you have the same person you work with in the studio a lot too, you know what I mean? Your buddy. So it's not like it changes,
Right.
So you do have people that, there's a consistency, as long as you're keeping up your creativeness, Where can people see this other this the TSOL video?
Well, the TSOL, sorry, I'm moving because it's loud. They're out doing, I live on the PCH here, so it gets pretty loud outside. Anyway, the TSOL one's streaming like everywhere. You can see it on Tubi and Amazon. I was on Amazon the other day and it came up recommended for me. It's like, great. Yeah, you're recommending my own film. Thanks, man.
They know you. They got it. You're like, all right, I'll bite. No, but just
This
the people are
sounds.
watching, they know. You got to put it out there, make it easier for them to not have to hunt everything down. So
Yeah,
that's also out there.
this sounds like something this idiot would be interested in. It's like, oh yeah, me. So anyway, but it's easy to find. You can just look it up. It's easy to find. You can buy the hard copy from MVD also, and it's fun. And once again, I didn't want to do something that had been done a million times. It's like, the only people that are in that film are the people that were actually with us. It's like, I didn't want to get guys coming out and going, they meant something. They were valid. Fuck that noise. I don't need that. And I didn't need any young band saying that we influenced them. It's like, yeah, no, thank you. It's
Well,
like,
but you
so.
were doing it yourself, though, so it would have been kind of weird. Like, if somebody, an outside source said it, it wouldn't been the same. But if you would have people, you're doing your own thing, and you have people validate you, it would have been kind of weird.
It would have been weird, right? And that's, yeah, and that was what was cool. So it's really the TSOL movie, it's really like a stand-up. Like I'm doing a stand-up, and then it cuts to the other guys and it goes into animation, and it's and there's no real TSOL music in the TSOL movie. In the
Which totally
TSOL.
makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Yeah. It's like there's some covers of TSOL songs that our keyboard player Greg did, like little bits of the song, but yeah, there's no TSOL music in a
Was
TSOL
there
movie.
a was that a creative decision? Or a licensing decision, or just a
No, it just seemed right. It's just one
okay.
of those things that's like, hey, this is how we're gonna do it. Here's what I'm seeing. And it was funny because no one in the band had seen the film until they went to the theater and saw the film. Like they'd never seen it. It's like that was the first time they ever saw it. So
And how would they react to it? Any, I mean, that's kind of a big thing to
well, they
do, and.
said they liked it, but who knows what they said behind my back. Maybe behind my back they didn't like it as much, but they said they liked it. So
That's all that matters, though. As long as what people say in front of you is all that matters in life, right? It's all
yeah,
that
that's
matters.
funny. I saw this interesting thing about that. It was a this priest I like, whatever, he's like a priest therapist, he's dead now, but he was talking about people feeling supported, and he lied to somebody and they felt great even though they were lied to, so it wasn't the truth. But it's like, well, who creates that support really? It was an interesting theory, but
Well, yeah,
anyway.
I mean, who, what makes you feel better about other people at times? And that's why I always go off the trash truck is yourself. And if someone validates you, you gather a lot of stuff that you feel makes you feel good. And you're like, yeah, that is right. All these things. It's just somebody's helping, concrete these things that you already kind of feel about yourself, your doubt. So yeah, as long as someone likes it.
Yeah, and it's the
And when you're
same.
older though, too, you kind of know now as you get older, like I'm a lot older now, things have changed. you're younger, and validation is a little more important too, you know.
Yeah, but it's weird too. Like sometimes with my work or whatever, like if somebody, tears apart a record or tears apart a song sometimes or whatever, it can make me dislike what I've done. And then on
Really?
the opposite, sometimes people saying, "Oh man, they did this and this here." I'll go, "Oh, we did do that." Okay, good. Yeah. So it's like, so sometimes it can change the way I feel about it. So
I'm surprised it doesn't make you want to go back and not after them. I'm going after them. Like to me, like say, like on my show, I interview a lot of different people, and everyone just trolls or whatever. They have all kinds of opinions, right? And I've had all kinds of stupid things said about this or the artist, whatever. But when I see that, I respond back, but I almost like I get pulled into it, not because it's an insult to me. I'm fine. I worry about people that are younger getting insulted by these strangers because, it hurts people. But my thing is, well, why are you saying that? I almost want to not debate it to make them prove it, but I really want to hear you support it. Like, what is your reason? And maybe I can take that back and learn from it, or maybe you just really are truly a knucklehead.
Right.
But so like with an artist like with you, someone says, this was the worst movie ever. Okay, but why? You know what I'm saying? Did your dog die that day? Like what, why is it the worst movie ever? Like what is your reflection? So it needs to be more meat to that to hold weight, I would think, especially to someone like you who's kind of experienced a few things in life.
Yeah, and you're right. Here's one thing I never liked is critique. But as I got older, solid, intelligent critique coming from a good place, man, I hunger for it now. It's like I tell people all the time, like if I'm working with an editor on a writing project or something, I tell them, man, come at me, come at me, don't let shit slide. If something strange, ask me about it. And I felt so good. One time I found this letter that William Faulkner had written his editor. And he said, "You're not doing your job. You're not coming at me hard. You're not challenging me." And I thought, God, man, if somebody like Faulkner could say that, well, it's fine for me to too. However, in the midst of creation, I don't give a fuck what you got to say about it. And that's how there was a joke about this movie. So it's you've never in the movie business, it's so crazy. You've never heard in any art project ever, ever. There's nothing like this. So when you're making a movie, they have a thing where they say, well, send what you've done so far and I'll give you my notes on it. I'll give you my notes."
My notes.
That's what they, and it's like it's such an unbelievable ego trip. That somebody would come in and give me their notes on this thing. It's like, fuck you, man. You didn't think of making it, or you would have made it before. You've never done this, and now you know what I should be doing. Fuck your notes. And so during the filming of the TSOL movie, everybody was walking around. If somebody said something to somebody, they'd go, "Yeah, fuck your notes, dude." Yeah, fuck. It was really just, hey, we're gonna do whatever we want. And then afterwards, feel free to give your comment. But we're going to do what we want first. Then you feel free to pitch in.
It doesn't surprise you though. I mean, music business. What's the music's done? It's business. It's the movie business. It's like super creative, and then the people that do the business are, I call them, the producers or the record labels or the movie companies are just really the banks, and they got people that think they know what's going on to direct your art towards the venue where they're going to get their profit back is really what is kind of like investment or brokers or something, and at that point it's like, how much can an artist, whether it be film or music, can fight them off? And if you're more established with success, you have a little more luck. But it depends on where you're at, you know what I'm saying? To protect your what you're doing.
Right.
Luckily you were in a spot where you could kind of be you for this film and which you're at.
And I was working, there was at one time I was fooling around with this major label, and it doesn't matter who it is, but
Yeah, it
they were
doesn't
in,
matter. Who is it? No, just kidding.
yeah, they were interested in me. So they had me over there doing demos and doing this and doing that. And it was just fucking dragging on and on. And they like, "Well, we like that, it's like, and it was killing me. Like I thought that I wanted the money. That's what I thought. I wanted the money, and it was killing me. And Hunt Sales said something to me, and I still remember it. He said, "Jack, You've been playing hardball your whole life. Don't fucking start playing softball now. And he just, and it's like I basically quit the next day. I just said, yeah, I'm out. No thanks. I'm done. And
That's good.
just walked away from all of it, So anyway.
Well, and I think that well, that's a good. I think I wish, and I think that's where some of the biggest things then musically they said, you know what, we like what you guys are doing as a band. We're just gonna give you a chunk of money, kind of like gambling. I'm gonna bet you
Yeah.
what we think is good. Well, we're gonna give you creative control. Very few bands have had that in their lives, but we're gonna let you kind of go with it, and that could be a good marriage of creativity and record label. Does that really
Right.
happen? Not so much. You know what I mean?
No. Frank Zappa, there's a really cool, if you look up this great, there's a great Frank Zappa piece. And he was talking about when he first started making records, he said there were like cigar smoking old guys sitting around, right? And he said they
Yeah.
didn't know shit about the music. They didn't know shit. He goes, well, let's try it, throw it out there and see what happens. And they just
Yeah.
let them do whatever they wanted, right? And then Zappa goes on to say, and then the record label started hiring cool A&R guys that had their finger on the pulse. And he
Yep.
goes, and that's when it got shitty. When they brought in these, supposed hipster, scenester guys that knew about music and they're
Was
bringing,
cool.
he goes, that's when stuff got shit. That's when it just turned bad,
It
so.
it I that's that's a, that is a great story. It's funny because I do a show with Dweezil Zappa. We do deep dives on all his albums. I've been for like since I've started doing the show for like 3 years. Over on his website, we so many Frank Zappa stories, and
Yeah,
that is
yeah.
just one of my favorites actually, because it's the beginning of the record industry and like puts it all in a in a nutshell,
Right. It's something. Well, that's funny because Frank Zappa, "We're Only in It for the Money," "The Mothers of
yeah,
Invention," was when I was a kid when that came out. I think it came out
yeah.
67, 68 or whatever, right around there, I think. I used to
About
listen
yeah.
to that record, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Darn
Yeah. So I used to li so I was born in 61. So I was like 6 years old, 7 years old, and I would listen to that record every day. And I
Wow.
still have it memorized. And bind your mind, there is no time, Boing, to lick your stamps and paste them in. Just corporate and we'll begin. It's like I used to listen to him. I used to listen to the Mothers when I was a kid. My sister used to actually go see him play. So it was,
That's
so
one thing
she
I would have
was like,
loved to see
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
My kids know Billy the Mountain. They know from a very young age. They still to this day, they can dictate the whole song all the
That's
way. Like 20
badass.
years later, they all know it. I'm like, it's okay parenting, I think. I think it's pretty good. Probably the best thing they've ever
Yeah.
done as a parent is
Yeah, that's
getting my kids
badass.
listening to Zappa,
I thought that "We're Only in It for the Money" record. I told the guys in NOAA. I told Fat Mike one time. I said, "You know what, man?
Yeah.
You guys want to do something bitching? You should cover that whole record. Cover that whole record from start to
That would be a
finish."
fun idea.
Yeah, because it's, hey punk, hey kid, where you going with that flower in your hand? We're
Yep.
going up to Frisco to join a punk rock band. I mean, it's a great take on what was going on, but of course they didn't do it. So I'm not running the show over there in that camp.
That's the only one. Yeah, well, maybe you could do it. Maybe your next album, right? You never know. You never know. But this is fantastic. I think. Well, first talking is awesome. I mean, you've done so many great things, and I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. And I'm going to check out the film, and maybe we get together again and actually do a recap on some of these films. I want to go through them, and
Yeah, sounds great. And let's stay in touch, and I'll
we'll
send
do
you
a
the
yeah.
whatever you need. Yeah.
So like yeah, and then maybe we'll do a little movie breakdown of some of the stuff. I'll pick your brain because
Yeah, that sounds
this has been a
good.
lot of fun. A lot of fun, man. Thank you. People,
Yeah.
check out the album A Side Graffiti. It's called, and February 29th, 12 Rockin' Songs. You're the films out too. I can't, what was it, 228?
Ignore
Sorry, you
heroes.
said,
Ignore
Ignore Heroes.
heroes.
Yep. Check it all out. It's all out there. And I'll put the links underneath too for everybody to check out on the podcast and on YouTube. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.